Our guest would like this episode to be dedicated to the memory of Frère Roland Sommer. Thank you, brother, for all that you've done to impact not only his, but all who knew, all who respected, and all who loved you. We will now have a moment of silence. The one thing I can tell you about my guest is where he excelled, I would fail. Hey, it's Drew, and welcome to Fascinating People, brought to you by 99.3 Moose FM, West Nipissing's best music. Hopefully you're having yourself a wonderful time. Thank you so much for joining. If this is your first time, allow me to explain. Fascinating People is a show where I go out into the community and I find people who have impacted it or people who just live here, because it's the firm belief of this show that everybody is fascinating. You just have to get them to tell you why. And today's subject is Jeremy Seguin, who is a teacher for the West Nipissing area, but also a politician. Two fields of employment you will not see yours truly, which means I have high respect for this man before and after our conversation. Before we get into said conversation, I would like to remind you that if you know somebody or you yourself would like to be a guest on Fascinating People, send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. And now, without further ado, we welcome to Fascinating People, Jeremy Seguin.
Hey, how are you? My name's Jeremy Seguin. I'm hoping that you're having a great morning, and we're going to have a little chat this morning.
You made it so personal. I love it. A lot of people take this as a news approach and get like real, yeah, you know, straighten up tie and comb back hair and all that. No offense.
I'm taking.
But I appreciate that because, yeah, I thank you so much for coming in and just chatting with me. So let's start right at the beginning. Where were you born? Where are you from?
Sure. Super long story short, I was born in British Columbia.
Well, we got 30 minutes. You don't need to shorten anything down for me. Okay, so we start in British Columbia.
Yeah, start in British Columbia. Then I ended up being in Calgary, Edmonton area, and then moving down to Timmins, where my parents found work.
What kind of moved you around so much?
Work. Lumber industry. So as we know, in the 80s and 90s, lumber industry went up and down, up and down. So I had a father that worked in the industry, and he had to jump around a little bit until he landed in Timmins, where he was fortunate enough to work for about 20 years or so.
Oh, so you finally actually was able to stick around somewhere.
Yeah, we were able to stick around there. I did my studies at L'École Secondaire Catholique Thériault, and from there I went on to college, where I took millwright and welding as trades. Then I got into a little car accident, and then I wasn't able to work in the industry anymore. So I decided to go into teaching, so where I did my studies at Laurentian University.
So you went to I don't speak much French, unfortunately. Yeah. So that first school you went to, that was specific for trades?
Well, no, that's my high school.
And
there's a certain element of pride. The same way as people come out here and they say, I'm from Northern or I'm from Franco. People really have that element of pride, and when you come from Timmins, saying that you're from Thériault is also a prideful thing to say.
There's a big French community in Timmins?
Yeah. Back then, my high school was around 1,600 students, and it doesn't show anymore, but where we used to be masters of cross-country running. So we had a excellent coach, and our assistant coach was also the assistant coach at Team Canada at the Olympics. So we come from a very prestigious running school.
Were you a runner yourself?
Yes, I was. Went to OFFS a few times and ended up having fun, Legion Provincials and stuff like that. I ended up running at the New York State Championships with my school, where we ended up in third. But yeah, we have a school that went to Bulgaria 1 year, went to Latin America quite a few times to go run. I think for the last 20 years or so, they've been considered AA school of the year for running.
Wow.
So for a smaller school, they compete with like St. Mike's and other institutes that have a really good running program.
And did you, I know you had your car accident. Did that kind of deter the running as well? Did you keep that going after high school?
Yeah, I had kept it going after high school. I had gotten bursaries to study for free at Northern College of Applied Arts. And then I lost my bursaries as soon as the accident happened. And then I had to go back to high school at the tender age of 20.
Oh, no.
To do my OACs to become a teacher.
Oh, you had to do that in high school?
Yeah, back then the rules were slightly different, and because I wasn't 21 yet, I couldn't go to an adult school. So at the age of 20, I had to go back to high school to do my OACs.
What is the OAC?
Grade 13.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
So back then we needed grade 13 to go to university.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you got there and you got to university, and what kind of... So you go. You went from lumber to teaching. It seems like a bit of a jump there. Like, what kind of drew you outside of the family business afterwards when you couldn't continue?
Well, that's when I sat down because I had a lot of time and ended up gaining about 80 pounds in 2 months. Mm. But I had a lot of time to look over at careers. And I found myself reading a lot of history books. Which is always something that's drawn me. I had a really excellent teacher in high school. So I was drawn into the history department at Laurentian University after meeting a lot of the profs, Gaétan Gervais, who's one of the, who was the professor when the Franco-Ontario flag was invented. So he had a huge part to play in that as well. He was one of my professors, and that kind of encouraged me to go out to Laurentian University to do my studies. And from there on, I took history and geography, then went to teacher's college, and then the fun time as a teacher. So going from community to community until you finally land in one, and you hope you stay there for most of your career.
And that's kind of a good segue into, you were at Timmins, you got to Laurentian University. What drew you here into West Nipissing?
Oh, that's a little bit because of Collège Boréal. Mm-hmm. I had started teaching for Collège Boréal, and my wife taught is still teaching in Warren at the elementary school. So instead of driving from, back then we were living in Noelville, instead of each driving one way and the other, we tried to look at a community that was right in the middle, and Verner really drew our attention. It's really a gorgeous community. It's... you know, right in the middle of back then, her whole family was still in Noelville as well. So we could easily slip by and go say hi to her family. But at the same time, we were right in the middle between the two, our two workplaces.
So the way I mentioned West Nipissing, it sounds like I took a bit of a jump there.
Yeah, well, there's a little jump. Teaching brings you a little bit of everywhere. So we were in Sudbury for a while, Sault Ste. Marie. Then she had, my wife had a contract in Noelville, which is why we ended up moving back in Noelville. So, especially at the beginning of a teacher's career, you kind of jump all over the place until you finally, settle down.
So was it history and geography, but constantly throughout your teaching career, or did you fluctuate the different?
No. There's a little part of me that says I wish, but then you turn into so much of more of a complete person when you do a little bit of everything. So just as an example, when I transferred over from Collège Boréal back into the public education system, on the Friday night I was teaching, or it was the exams for my college class, and in the morning on Monday I was teaching JKSK in Astorville. So there's
not really susceptible to history and geography, those little ones.
No, they definitely know how to make history though, but it's really enjoyable being in a trade where you never see the same thing twice. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you could even be teaching the same subject every year, and it's never ever the same thing, which is what I think draws me to teaching so much.
It's never the same year.
Oh, it's never the same year, never the same mood, even within the same day. Everything changes so much, depending on the contract, you could be working JKSK in the morning and doing grade 7 and 8 science, which is what I did. So you could do a little bit of everything. You touch at so many subjects, and you get to see the beauty of kids learning and kind of getting that little light once in a while that kind of clicks on, and then they're like aha moments, which
where
is
you broke through, you got to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a moment that you kind of remember? Kind of like an example. My friend just recently graduated teacher's college. She wants to be a music teacher for her entire career so far. We'll see where it fluctuates. But she remembers, have you ever played the flute or anything?
Yeah.
So you know how you have to get your lips a certain way to actually get a sound out of that instrument. She was teaching a child how to play the flute. It wasn't working. And then finally, they figured it out how to actually get a sound out of it. And she says the delight on that child's face is kind of what pushes her to this day. Is there a moment in your career that you look back on and it just, if ever you're feeling down about your career choice, you think back and go, oh yeah, that's why I'm doing this.
Wow.
I know. It's a bit of a thinker.
Yeah. Everything from, like, let's say I take a look at physical education, throwing a ball through a hoop. You know, sometimes for some kids, they get it off the first try, and other kids, they get it after 10, 15, 20 tries, but they eventually get it. I think looking back, the biggest aha moment, I think, has to come out of secondary school. When I taught high school, we had a lot of students that really did not enjoy going to school. And I think it's the aha moments where they come into the classroom and they say, oh, I was so looking forward to today's class. And even though they have no idea what's coming up, and I think it's really just the for me, it's the making the unwilling kids willing. And I think those are the aha moments. I can't really put a finger on one specific moment per se. And it's something that goes across all levels, even including college levels. I remember teaching health and sexuality here at Collège Boréal. And my first year, I think they were 10 or 11 girls and one guy. So trying to teach about sex and teaching about healthy living and whatnot, a lot of people came up to me and said, well, I've had 5 kids. There's nothing you can teach me. And then at the end of the year, they're like, oh my God, did I ever learn a lot? And I especially like to dab in the psychological aspect of my trades as well. So I liked having special guests. So I had guests come in from TG Inner Selves in Sudbury, which are a group for transsexuals. So we would have transsexual people come to my classroom and explain how they've lived and what they've been through. And that was an aha moment for the adults. Yeah.
Did you ever experience any backlash from stuff like that? Any complaints?
Not at the college level. No. No, I think everyone who took the course, it wasn't a mandatory course. So I think they went into it with their eyes wide open, and they had taken a look at the curriculum in advance.
Oh, so it wasn't you just popped in and said, we're learning this today.
No. You got to follow a curriculum, yeah.
Fair enough. Going back to kind of the education aspect, and how long have you been a teacher now?
I'm going on my 13th year this year.
So with that amount of experience, so many of people my age, or at least maybe just in my social circle, are always going into saying, I want to be a teacher, or I want to be an educator, or ECE, anything along those lines. With your experience, is there something they should know before going into this, before actually putting the time and effort to become an educator?
Oh, that's a loaded question on a year that we might be going on strike.
I tried to avoid as much controversy as possible, but we'll see what happens.
What they should know... whatever you thought education was, it's not.
How so?
I don't know about kids today, but we were raised in a time where your grade one teacher was going to be the grade one teacher throughout your whole time. Now there's a lot of movement. And as soon as you start feeling comfortable somewhere, get ready to get ripped away from that location. I think this year we saw massive changes overall in the system. And we had schools that had really great teachers in place for 5 to 10 years, and they had to transfer over to new schools, and it was all done unwillingly. So I think one thing you have to get ready for is get ready for constant changes. Never feeling comfortable.
Be adaptable.
You definitely have to be adaptable. Yeah. You can't expect to feel comfortable, to have the exact same courses year in, year out. Usually as soon as you've done 2-3 years in the same subject or same type of classroom, you tend to get moved around a little bit according to your strengths.
So then you came into West Nipissing, forgive me, it was 8 years ago, you said, or 10?
No, I'm on my 7th year now.
7th year here. So what was the turning point to actually going into politics? Like, you probably got comfortable here, and then you got your teaching, you're bringing in different ideas for the curriculum. What kind of made you want to branch out and, try and make more of an impact?
Politics have always been one of those bucket list items. From the age of 14, I would volunteer to be a little page of sorts in the Timmins chamber.
What does a page do?
I would bring water and I would bring the pages, and whenever they needed anything, I was there for the councilors and the mayor. I fell in love with the fact that you could help so many people at a different chair. So I've always been strong for volunteering because throughout my life I had the most amazing coaches. And I remember my graduating year, my favorite coach came up to me and said, "Okay, look, you've taken a lot. You've been doing practices 3 times a day. I've been there with you. Just promise me that you'll give it back to other kids later on in life." And that really struck a chord. And volunteer work kind of became my thing. So whether it was being a hockey coach, a president of the Verner Minor Hockey Association, seating on,
so many boards, so many chairs.
So basketball coaches, track and field, cross country, I've tried to give back as much as I took, which unfortunately I used to take every single day, and I haven't been able to give back every single day in another way. But politics kind of gave me another end to help people in a different way, in a way that I couldn't help anyone beforehand. And it's always been kind of a bucket list of mine to get into politics, to make a difference on a macro level, and still keep on donating some of my time on the micro level. So I kept on being, even though I'm in politics and I teach, I still help out with the local scouts in Verner. And then I also give in a lot of hours, as an example, Chamber of Commerce over the weekend. We just had a huge event, our Christmas bash. And, I spent 8 hours manning a bar and doing things of that sort. So I like being on the forefront and helping out, especially behind the scenes, because a lot of the work is done behind the scenes. And when we show up, it's nice and pretty. But I like to do the work behind the scenes much more than I like being at the forefront. And politics allows me to do that as well, because people don't usually pay attention to politics as much as some may want to or some should. But at the same time, it doesn't make a difference if they pay attention or not. There's definitely an effect that's felt whenever council comes up with a decision.
So you started out as a page, kind of getting an introduction into it. Were there challenges when you actually kind of then appeared as a seat? Or was there like steps in between that kind of prepared you for the responsibility that came with your position?
There's steps. So being a page really opened my eyes to what they have to do, the type of discussions, the language, because the language involved in politics is quite a bit different. But then my history background, or historical background, I should say, was mostly political. I could still remember to this day, I had done a long presentation on Che Guevara in university. And, my professors really loved the way that I could go in depth into politics. So to me, people like Che Guevara, Fidel Castro. I studied all of the various wars, the Franco-Ontarian leaders, stuff of that sort. And it really, politics kind of mingles in. And I also took poli-sci classes, which I found really interesting as well.
Oh, political science.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that one took me a second.
Sorry.
You're using all the terminology on us already.
Yeah, sorry.
Actually, I'm very curious about that. You were talking political language. Examples of that?
Just when people start speaking about deferring or referring the various bylaws, the language that we would use in the bylaws, sometimes aren't what I'd consider literary terms. They're a little heavier. Nobody walks around saying, well, are you following a code of conduct today? It's a lot of the language that gets thrown around in the political realm that isn't really natural or normal for people on the streets to. It's a different lingo.
So you've got to learn the lingo, kind of figure out the structure of how everything works. Would you say your experience as the teacher kind of helped you with your adaptability?
To a certain degree, because if you're teaching, especially if you're teaching history or anything of the sorts, you're going to have to dab into some of that lingo when you're speaking about world leaders and whatnot. But I don't think there's any job that could really prepare you for politics. Whether it's law, whether it's education, whether it's forestry or whatnot, I think everybody that comes at the table comes at a different angle with different experiences, and they come in without a doubt with the heart at the right place. They bring their own experiences. So when I take a look at our council, it varies all over the place. We've got ex-government workers, we've got health and safety officers, we've got teachers, we've got people who have touched a little bit of everything, and I think we really need that in politics. It's something that if people are too alike, then the way of thinking will be too linear. By having people all over the place, they're able to bring in experiences, and there are experiences that I could bring to the table that someone who's worked in a mill has never seen. So I'll take child poverty as an example. You work in a mill, you don't usually see it. If you're a teacher and you're looking at people's lunch boxes, you could definitely see a difference. So I think everyone brings in their specialty, and then it makes council a whole instead of like a whole. Instead of being too linear and being too concentrated on certain aspects.
Kind of like since West Nipissing is a municipality, it's good to have not just focus in Sturgeon Falls, but also look at Verner and Field and Levine and all over instead of just one focused area.
Exactly, yeah.
So then what kind of, because you have to have a certain thing to be in politics. It's very open. You do need to have, you know, different backgrounds to focus on different avenues, like you said. But what is something that somebody needs if they're going into this line of work or profession?
A clean background? Definitely. Whatever you've done in the past will show up, whether it's a 20-year-old picture of you at a Halloween party or whatnot.
Don't know what that's a reference to.
No, I have no idea either. In all honesty, the will to better your community. I think that's the most important part for any member of council or any member of government. It's not about yourself. It's really about absolutely everyone else. Those people who are having a hard time making ends meet because they've been laid off this year, up to, you know, keeping our business community thriving and happy as well. So you really have to be able to look at everything from different angles. You can't look at everything from a single lens, because when you make a decision, there's always an impact. No matter how nice it looks on one side, it's rosy on one side, someone else is paying for it on the other end. So it's being able to balance all of the portfolios and whatnot. What else do you need going into? Thick skin. Mm. I've heard various things along this last year, which even as a president of a hockey organization, you still don't hear.
I was going to say, also as a teacher, you've got the creative teens that would probably come up with...
Oh, no, I love them.
Really?
No, I've never, ever, ever, ever had a real issue. I think I could count the amount of times I've thrown a student out of my classroom. Maybe once a year.
So the stereotype is completely off. Because I always thought teenagers in high school are just the worst.
No, our kids are so awesome.
Oh, okay.
They really are. I think.
But it's the hockey association where the people are a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had way more stress with the hockey association than teaching. Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. And way more stress with politics than I've had with teaching as well. No, teaching is. How can I say that? If you've got it, you've got it.
How do you mean?
If you've got it in you and your heart's really set on it and you're really looking at education the way it's supposed to be looked at, you won't have any issues with the kids. You won't have any issues with screaming or swearing, or you'll get the odd time, and that's normal because hormones are flying all over the place at that age. But in all, like, I really have to say that our upcoming generation is really looking good. Really, I have to say they're more intelligent than my generation was. You know, like, when we were 3 years old, we were eating mud. today's three-year-olds now know how to navigate an iPad like there's no tomorrow. How can I say this?
They're so
adaptable.
Adaptable.
Yeah, they adapt to any scenario other than hard labor. I think hard labor is going to be a tough one with the kids today. But other than that, I love going into the classroom, especially when there's young teenagers, impressionable minds that bring their own experiences to the table. Yeah.
So then a thick skin, the ability to see all the avenues. Was there anything else you could think of as somebody who needs something you need for going into... the political circle. Oh, clean history. We also talked about that.
Yeah. Clean history. Ability to work with others. Because when I take a look at myself, I think I'm the youngest one by about a decade. And then there's another decade between that member and the next youngest person. So I've got to work with people that have 20, 30, even, no, not 40, but 30 years difference. Meaning there's a generational gap. The priorities are not the same at all. When I'm looking at young families, other people may be looking at senior citizen. The concept of retirement is I think, lost on my generation. I don't think that many of us will end up retiring. There's a whole bunch of different social situations that we've all gone through, but that we have to find common ground. And I think being adaptable, being able to see both sides of the coin when it comes to accepting what someone else has to say, I think those are really important attributes to have if you're going to get into especially local politics. And the fact that you cannot do anything without people knowing. Mm. You go to the grocery store, my wife no longer sends me there. because a half hour grocery trip turns into an hour or two. You just have to be able to make time for people and you just have to care. Really, that's, I think, the most important part is you have to care about your community and you have to want to see it bettering itself.
So then I guess to wrap up our conversation today, I'll kind of reflect on what I asked as teaching about your proudest moment. Is there a moment looking back on the council with a bylaw that was passed or maybe somebody that came in with an issue that was resolved, something you look back and go, I really hope I'm remembered for this. This was a proud moment in my experience.
In the short amount of time, the one thing I want to be remembered as is someone who's been available to the public at a drop of a hat. And I think I've done so far. I think the longest response time that it took for a member of my community, of my ward, I think 24 hours is about the longest I've ever made anyone wait for a reply to look into matters. Like, I just hope that in the end, when all is said and done, that people think of me as someone for the people. And I've had number of years to look at various politicians. I've had an opportunity to meet great politicians like Jean Chrétien lately. Whether we like him or not, we have Justin Trudeau, who I got to share quite a bit of time with this year. I take a look at all of the positive aspects from those politicians, and I try to implement them in the way that I do things. So in the end, I hope that's what I'm remembered for. But in 4 years from now, we could have another talk.
A much more different tone of conversation.
Hopefully not.
I know. This was very fun. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with me today.
Well, have a great day, Drew.
You too.
Okay, bye.